to Rugby Back Chat. It is the podcast on Rugby League, and it is the match of the week. I'm at the home of Manchester City. Normally, Paul would be sat alongside me, but in the absence of Paul, he's getting ready for his big game against St. Helens this evening. I've got Rugby League pundit and the voice of Rugby League, Ray French. Ray, do you fancy standing for the beat of Paul Wood?
A substitute for Paul Wood, no, I don't want to interchange, and he can come back, I don't mind.
It's a nice weekend, it's the second one in Manchester, and the sun is shining.
Well, the sun is shining, and you know, there's no doubt about it, though. This year, we've had 6 months where the sun hasn't been shining. It's not really shining, but I think it's shining on what is looking to be a great event. I don't think the crowds last year were anything like what I'm witnessing here already this morning for the first two matches. There's a terrific carnival atmosphere outside the ground, around the concourses. I do think this Etihad Stadium is perfectly designed for something like this. The competitions that are going on outside, the advertising, people who are giving their freebies away, the people who are taking part in games, the kids all dressed up, face painted and everything, and people are coming in and out for a game, they take a game in, they go for a bite to eat, they come back for another game. It's a terrific atmosphere. I think any football supporters here as well would be amazed. The camaraderie between all the teams, all the players, all the fans, having their jerseys sat next to each other, taking the mickey out of each other. This is an atmosphere, I think, and an event that Rugby League can be proud of.
I think weekend's been on the road in recent years, but we're back in the heartlands of Rugby League, so Manchester's the perfect location. I'll probably not use the word heartland anymore.
Well, I don't like using the word heartlands anymore, because I think we've gone past those heartlands, and we've got to stop using it. If you are not expanding, then you're dwindling. It's as simple as that. Every game has to go forward. And I think what we should look at is the expansion that we've made. You know, expansion is not just at Super League level. Expansion is at amateur level. Expansion is at semi-pro level. If you look at the teams now playing in those lower divisions, like North and South Wales Crusaders, like Gloucester, like Hemel Stags, who are doing very, very well. And don't forget, Hemel Stags have been going for 30 years. But then we've got Oxford. Now, if someone has said to me they would be playing Rugby League at Oxford on the Iffley Road ground, the famous iconic ground of Rugby Union, then I would have put my house mortgage on it. Past expansion, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, at the match at weekend, game one has been done and dusted, but in the first day of Rugby League on the match at weekend, it's Catherine versus London, then we move over to Castleford versus Wakefield. It's Warrington versus St. Helens. We've also got a Tracy Humberside derby as well.
We certainly have. I mean, what can you have better than these four derbies? I mean, I was fascinated with the London Broncos and Catalan Dragons one this morning, and then his expansion. The Catalan Dragons winning comfortably in the end. I'm looking forward in particular to the Hull versus OKR derby, because I think both sides are just beginning to get their act together, and it's time both did actually, because both have been sleeping giants. Hull is a massive Rugby League city. When Hull FC are going in their pomp, they can pull in 20,000 and they take fans away. So can the OKR, not quite number of fans, but they can pull them in, and it's what we want. We want a very strong home side.
We get on day two of the match weekend, it's Salford versus Widnes, Bradford Bulls versus Huddersfield, and the real finale of the weekend is having Wigan versus Leeds.
It certainly has. You've got Wigan in the pomp. Wigan at the top of the three. That is it, 10 or 11 games. I think they're undefeated at the moment. Play some really top class rugby with many of the Premier players from the squad missing, and a lot of youngsters coming in. I said that about John Wayne. He's not afraid to bring young lads in. He brings these young Wigan products in, and they are all paying off. And these are the sorts of players that we want in there. We've got Leeds on the back of two defeats, that defeat in the Challenge Cup against Huddersfield, and a bad defeat at Headingley against St. Helens last weekend. So that's looking very, very tasty.
It's the 7th year of the Magic Weekend, and if it is a success, is it fair to say it could be here to stay for a little bit longer?
Well, I think so. I thought it was a success right from the very beginning. I think when we went to the Millennium Stadium and when we went to Murrayfield, again, they were terrific weekends. They really do. You know, we have a lot of fans in Rugby League, what we call the Mourners and Groaners Club. They really are quite pathetic. They moan, they groan. They don't attend, you know. They attend very little. They they send letters in, they do these tweets that I don't know much about, but no, it's their forte, and I'm afraid rugby league has been held back by these people. Some of these will put gates on the brick house and not let anybody through, you know, or flat cap entrance only. I'm sorry, but the game is different. I played 40, 50 years ago, under differing rules, and there were some great players then, there are great players now under differing rules, and it's a differing attitude, and society has changed, and we have to get out and about, and that is why we cannot be retained in the heartland. If we stay where we are, the game will die.
Do you believe that it ends at the halfway stage? Anyone call it that?
I think it's going very well. I think we didn't have caught my eye because I didn't expect Wigan to be as successful as they are. Because if you look at the Wigan team and the Wigan squad, those great names of yesterday won't exactly come out of you. You know, you've got a lot of good, hard working lads, but the players, the team, I think there's a great passion. I really do think that the Wigan side takes everything from Sean Williams. I think he's done a wonderful job. He's passionate himself. He really was competitive as a man, as a player. He's competitive now. He wants the best. He tolerates nothing but the best. And he's getting that out of his very side. I think St. Helens have struggled. They've struggled with injuries. They've struggled with one or two players who are not quite doing it. But I do think they will come again. They've got a lot of good youngsters. And I am hopeful that Hull will really make a mark this year. I think they've had a very difficult time in the Challenge Cup at Catalan Dragons, but if they can come through that, I think if they could get a place at Wembley, that would really be good for them, really.
So they have been spending bigger for last year, but they have been hit with injury damage to one or two key players.
They have. They spent well, they spent me in the past, but I do think they bought some journeymen in the past. In past seasons, Hull been guilty of just going to Australia and coming back really with what I call a lucky bag of Australia, and you might get one good one in a book for dopes. But I do think that they've got the act together now, and I do think that given freedom from injury, and Hull could be one of the major surprises this year.
As you might have certainly got the act together, thankfully, it's Witness Viking certainly improved on the third season.
Well, they certainly have. I mean, as a former Witness player, I'm really delighted for them. I think there's a lot of energy there now. There's a lot of effort. They're no longer soft touches, if you like. I think wherever they play, they will give a good account of themselves. And they, too, are bringing Danny Spence to bring you some good youngsters through, no question.
I think the halfway stage, we've had a casualty in the coaching role. Ian Millward's been relieved of his duties. A casualty that's been replaced by Darrell Powell, who's been a massive success for us in Rovers.
He has, and certainly, well, we're recording this just after the half time in the Wakefield Castleford game. I've been very impressed with the first 40 minutes that Castleford have really blown Wakefield out at the moment. Darrell Powell is an old trooper, isn't he? A really great experience at Leeds. A lot of people forget the contribution that he made to the Leeds Rhinos there. And, you know, he's done a first-class job at Featherstone on very, very limited funds and limited resources. All right, he's limited resources at Castleford, but I think he's the man with his feet on the floor. I think that's what's needed at Castleford.
They look here for Darrell Powell right now in his last interview as a Featherstone coach. Darrell Powell, Northern Rail Cup draw, Dublin Busted at home. It's going to be the pick of the round, it's Leeds Centurions.
Yeah, tough draw, obviously. A lot of coming in some form. Big win last week against Batley. And it'll be a challenge for us. You know, they'll come highly motivated. And we're in a little bit of form at the moment, so we'll look to maintain that. We've got Batley of the week, and then we need to take that form into the game against Leeds in the Northern Rail Cup.
So you have to show your cup credentials really early in the tie.
Yeah, you know, there's no feeling your way into the Northern Rail Cup this year. It's a straight knockout, and you know, we need to make sure that we're where we need to be for that game. But you know, we've got another one before that, and we need to focus on our form and then maintain it leading into that game.
You're being in the league will not make a difference when you do play in the Northern Rail Cup.
No, it's another game. You know, they're very much capable of beating us. They've got good quality players in every position, really. So. You need to look after stuff as it gets, but we are at home and we're pleased about that.
Well, that interview we take when Fenderson were drawn out the hat against Lee Centurions in the Northern Rail Cup competition, unfortunately, for Fenderson, Darrell Powell went to Casper and Rovers lost the game, sadly.
Well, that's how it goes. I mean, the coaches have got to look after their own interests. You know, they can be loyal to a club, but I think the opportunity to coach any Super League side, the coach has got to take. He's like this Martinez guy at Wigan Athletic. You know, he's got to weigh up what do I want, where I want to be in 4 or 5 years' time.
By the way, the replacement for Darrell Powell at Featherstone is John Bassett, and he's a man with a lot of experience.
A very considerable experience. He's been with some good coaches, hasn't he? You know, Tony Smith there at Warrington and Johnson, a very, very sound man, very intelligent guy. And I think he might just be the sort of lad that Featherstone want to follow on from Darrell Powell.
An email award in a replacement of coaches was Phil Beavers, and he was replaced by Brian Noble at Salford.
Well, they come and they go, don't they? I do think it's like, soccer, I think they change coaches at half-time, some of these clubs. But I do think we change coaches far too quickly. A coach is as good as his players, a coach is as good as the finance that can be instilled into the club and can be used. And some very, very good coaches, it's like being... if a young kid can't do GCO level, he'll never do A level. And then that's the problem.
Mentioned the fact that Featherstone lost absolutely in the Northern Rail Cup competition. Now, Swinton have defeated a very resilient North Wales Crusaders team, and then Adrian Morley in the lineup on dual registration, like also with Adrian, having seen Swinton defeat the North Wales Crusaders. So, Adrian Morley, welcome back to action.
Thanks very much. It's been a frustrating few months. As any player will tell you, it's not nice being on the sidelines, but it was great to be back playing. I really enjoyed the day out for Swinton, and the arm felt great, so hopefully we're in position now to force my back into the Warrington style team.
The standards of today's game meet your expectations?
It was very fast. There's a huge difference between the two leagues in terms of how fast the game is, and it was a great year. I played a few minutes and I worked a few times, worked a few players, so really did was a worthwhile experience. So I really enjoyed it as well, actually. So I think it was a good day.
Yeah, it was always a real competitive game considering the North Wales team below Swinton.
Yeah, they are, but they're undefeated in that division, and they come here for confidence, and they play that way. It was a tough old game, which is what I wanted. It was probably this one advice they won, though. It was something, a game that I wanted. You don't want to play in one side of the scoreline, so it was a tough old game, and it was a really worthwhile experience.
For yourself personally, it's your first time in the North Wales Cup.
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's just a way of trying to get back into the Warrington 17, and I enjoyed playing this one, and it's a lot in the area. Another play from, so it was no huge drama for me. It was just, I enjoyed it.
What's the process for you now?
Well, there was no problems with the arm. I'll train this week at Warrington, and hopefully, hopefully, try to get back into the Warrington side for the Monday weekend, Sales will be on the Saturday.
With yourself now back out of the house, you went on the pitch?
All right, that was pretty solid, without trying too hard. I just wanted a solid game with him well, and got plenty of involvement. Didn't do anything too flash, which is just the game I wanted, really. So tested the arm out, tested the fitness out, and ticking that respect.
I suppose all in all, good day out because you got the win as well.
Yeah, good day out, got the win. Had no problems with the arm, so it was a good day all round.
It was Adrian Morley, right? Continuing. Current first year players are turning out for Swinton. You've had Lee Brees and Ben Harrison in recent weeks, along with Paul Wood.
I just don't see the sense of it. I really think that the rugby league caused a disaster with this, and I think they've got to change it and change it fast. I think one season is enough for this, what I call a fiasco. I just wonder how a coach, I've seen like Salford, Wilkinson that witnessed are allied with, how he can pick a side from one week to the next. one week he's got three witness lads in, three monitor lads in, some felons lads in at Rochdale, and then the following week he has a penny, and then he says to somebody, look, you can play this week. I just do not see how we can bring about team spirit. I don't think how we can bring about coordination, nor do I see the benefit in Lee Breers, other Lee Breers getting fit, or Aaron Morley going to Swinton and bringing about a nice win for Swinton. I just think it defeats the whole ethos of the game.
So it's a win-win situation for the Super League clubs, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt about it. They're using the Championship clubs, and some of the Championship clubs are using the Super League based on players who are being used.
Overall, Cup continues at the quarter-final stages. The draws being made, it's Bally versus Workington, Swinton versus Doncaster, Lee versus Whitehaven, Sheffield versus Dewsbury. This year, maybe we'll have a new name on the Cup.
Well, I think that's good. I think that Cup run, like the old days when the Challenge Cup was Wigan, when we were winning it every year, and no matter how good Wigan played, no matter how wonderful their rugby from Wigan, it eventually got boring. And I don't want to say one of the finest things that happened was that Sheffield beat them. But Wigan did allow one or two others to win it. I mean, Saints then took over. And that's the problem with the Challenge Cup at the moment. There are so very few clubs can actually win this Challenge Cup now, because you need a very big squad, you need a fully professional squad. And the upsets are very, very limited. Very, very limited now. And I think in the Northern Rail, two or three teams at the top there that have dominated. They're not quite doing it now, and I think it would be very, very good to get a new name on the trophy.
So Sheffield Eagles with the big picture against Halifax look favourites, but I'm sure Lee and Bally will have a say in matters.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, Lee will always have a say in matters. Lee are a big club, really. It's sadly is finding it very difficult in the shadow of Wigan. I think that's where they have their problem. I think Bradley have been playing well this season, and I think, you know, they might just force it.
Those sides are going to be playing on June the 15th and 16th of 2013. Sheffield are also in the quarterfinals on the Challenge Cup final for the Championship, and they're going to be playing London Broncos the rest of the sides. Warrington versus Huddersfield, Castleton versus Hull. It's Wigan versus Widnes Vikings. Those sides being played on July the 12th. And 14th, and for the first time in the history of the Cup, all four games being shown live on TV.
They certainly are. I think it's very good. Two being shown on Sky on Friday and the Monday. And we've got two on the BBC. We've got the Catalan Dragons home game, which I think would be a cracker, down there in Perpignan on a Saturday. And I'm doing the Wellington v Huddersfield game with Halliwell Jones on the Sunday. And I do think it's a terrific weekend of rugby. But I would hope that not only the viewers take an interest, I would hope there'll be spectators there. I think Huddersfield and Leeds, a couple of weeks ago, did a tremendous job in marketing the game. They put some cheap ticket prices on, and they got, nearly 12,000 at the John Smith Stadium. And I do think that these games want far more support than we get. You know, again, we get a lot of moans, we get a lot of groans about prices and austerity, and times are hard. You know, other sports, particularly rugby union, particularly football, they do still support the teams, and they do go rugby league. Very often, many of our supporters tend to stay away and just leave it.
Yeah, for me, that quarter-final was obviously Wigan versus Witherspoon on Wigan's fan, but the interesting one's going to be Sheffield and London. Everyone's really in Sheffield to get to the semi, surely.
I think it will be a good game. I must confess, no disrespect to Sheffield, I think London, I personally think London will beat them. I think it is a massive job for a part-time side now to beat a full-time professional team. I think where it comes down to is with your interchanges, when you're getting down to number 17, in your side, he has to be the equivalent of your number three, your number four, and it very often is not that with these part-timers. I would say London, but either of them, I think it's going to be a good clash, and of course every one of the other sides will be looking for them in the semi-final.
Yeah, at the moment we've got the crew cash involved with Swarthy City Residents. He's decided that he wants to do one of the City Residents for next year. They're going to be called the Swarthy Red Devils. Is that the right way forward?
Well, they were always known as the Red Devils when I attack pre-war, and just after the war, when they were one of the teams that toured France and really brought the French rugby league to the fore. In fact, Salford were one of the clubs that really encouraged French rugby league, and Gus Risman, the famous Gus Risman, took side down there. And so I don't see anything wrong with the Red Devils. I mean, Salford City Red, Salford Red Devils. It's like, I think Red Devils is actually better. I think, you know, it's like Leeds, Rhinos, isn't it? Weapons, anything, the Wildcats, Wigan Warriors, you know. Everybody seems to want these little gimmicky constructions these days. So, no, I have nothing against it. And I do think that historically and heritage-wise, the Red Devils has played a massive part in Salford's rugby league.
Oh, these nicknames are knocking around in the modern game now. How do you think the fans back in your day would have reacted to all these nicknames?
Well, I think the fans in my day were much more conservative with a small e. They were much more brought up on staunch traditional lines. It's a different world, it's a different marketing world. It's a far cry from the days when you played in the middle of winter and they all had these. When I played for Saints and Witness, you had big red and white woolen or black and white woolen scarves wrapped around your neck with little tin badges with players' names on it. Remember the huge rosettes that they used to take down to Wembley? Things are much more advanced now.
Happily rugby forever, as you know, right? And Ben Croft, one of those players that's been around the game for 17 years, he signed and this is his last year.
Yes, he is. I think he's been a good servant to the game both down under and here. It's a pity he's had this knee injury which has robbed him of about 8-9 weeks of this season, but he's determined to play towards the end of the season. He's determined hopefully to play a part in Widnes' consolidation in Premiership. And he's also doing some good radio work at home for Radio One of his eyes. So, and when he goes back, he wants to do something like that. So good luck to him.
He's been a great servant and a real warrior in the pack, isn't he? Continuing his career for one more year, he's going to be John Clark, and also with the boost by the fact that Rhys Hanbury hotly tipped you on in the Salford Red Devils next year. He's going to stay with Widnes.
No, I think that's two very good moves. I think John, a very experienced player, plays his heart out. It's ideal to have him at the heart of the Widnes side, taking it from the opposite half back, just directing play from that position. He's very, very fit. I think another 1 year contract for him would be excellent. And Rhys Hanbury is a very good footballer, I think it says something about Widnes today that 12 months ago they probably would not have been able to keep Rhys Hanbury. But I think people can see that Widnes are taking steps forward now. And I think Rhys Hanbury can, and he says, look, I'm staying.
The story regarding the RFL's policy review that we're all about, a number of ideas have been bandied about for the structure of the sport, so we're being told them. One of them is competition structure and the game's interpretation, and the promotion relegation subjects really need to be head one more time.
Well, I must confess, I like the system. I think you've got a big, big problem. Everybody keeps going about promotion and relegation. You cannot have promotion and relegation between a full-time league and a part-time league, because a team that goes up cannot compete, as Widnes showed last year. They cannot compete. They're not designed to compete. They've got the finances to compete. They've got the team to compete. The team that comes down goes bankrupt because all the players leave them. The money men, if they're out of it, they tend to depart. And so you just have chaos. You can only have them on, let's say, going from not exactly a level playing field, but going from fully professional league, and a professional league, albeit a minor one, which is what is envisaged in all of these coming formats. I like the first format where you play two leagues and then you move into three. And I think in that middle, then you do give the hope of promotion and relegation. I think it will only be a hope, because don't forget it. It's 8 teams playing off, in a sense. It's not just one game. It's not just one game where, with a bit of luck, somebody gets sent off, you can win that game and you're promoted. No, you have got to win 14 games, basically, if it's home and away. You're going to win that one. And that wants them doing. So there's that hope. But I reckon only once in about every 7-8 years, somebody will actually go up. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I think that would side that is capable of going up. So I do like that league. We do need competition. There's no question about that. Because I do think as well that this current system that we have with the top eight, to me, is worthless. You should not be competing in a grand final for eighth position. And the club's just stringing along to get into an eighth position. I mean, we also have some of our top clubs resting players. And it doesn't matter whether they finish second, third, or fourth. And it should matter. It should matter in terms of prize money. You know, if you've got £500,000 for the top club, then all right, second club just gets £200,000, and that's a lot for a club. So we need competition all the way through.
That's the way we're improving the actual product on the field, isn't it? Because you're being told fast, often it's getting diluted.
Well, it is, unless you've got every match counting, and at the moment every match doesn't count. It's as simple as that. Because we have coaches who will leave four players out one week and another four out the following week, and all the talk is all we need to be is ready for those playoffs at the end of the season. And I'm sorry, but your whole season should be geared to getting to compete at the grand final. And also, the league leaders should be far, far more important and given far more money and far more prestige than the state of according at the moment.
If you go down the promotion relegation and the exercise to the criteria that you're going to need the clubs in the championship, who in the championship would you feel are good enough to step up?
Well, I don't think it's a case of good enough playing wise, quite frankly. It's good enough off the field, really. Because you can get, if you're good off the field, with your marketing, with your size of crowd, you need to be a town that can support it. You can't have a sort of, you take a place like Keighley. Keighley couldn't support. Well, they tried to do it years ago, didn't they? With the Cougar Mania that we used to have, you can't, there's not the population there. You take a team like Castleford at the moment, it's a very small population, and today you need big money, there's no question about it. I mean, Castleford were in the glory days, and everybody was part time, and everybody was virtually on the same wage. So the Mal Reilly's and the Roger Millwalls and the Billy Hartley's, John Joyner's could play for Castleford, and no disrespect. Those players would not be playing for Castleford today. They're playing for Leeds, they're playing for somewhere else. So that you've got problems there in the size of the town, which dictates whether you can be professional or whatever. I think, look, United, probably Lee, although they're a bit in the shadow of Wigan now, trying to get out of that shadow, and Halifax. Halifax is a very strong rugby league town. They're always pulling very good crowds. They've got a good amateur background, good amateur setup. Got a decent ground now. And I do think they've got everything off the field to be able to probably provide for Super League. But I think it would be very, very difficult for anybody.
Everyone forgets how fast we're in Super League when no one knows the Blue Sox.
Yes, that's right. That's right, the Blue Sox. I remember that. There was some controversy when they were first given that name. But they did very well. And of course, they lost their sugar daddy when sadly he died. And of course, the money drained away then, and Halifax ran with it.
Speaking of licences, there was a huge signing for Mount Gravel in the RFL, decided to extend the licence to the end of 2014, but surely that's not a surprise to anyone, is it?
It's no surprise, because Bradford have got their act together. Bradford have succeeded. I mean, quite frankly, it would appear to be ranked by management that got Bradford into the financial situation that they were in. And Bradford are a big club, a major club. I do think that also is way out of its turning, but it does bleed at the club to death financially, that it would be better with smaller ground and a much more accessible area. But it's so difficult to get. It's so difficult to get. And the Bradford City Council, I don't think really in these harsh times could support what they might like to support. But Bradford are a big club. They are well supported in good times, and they've been well supported this season as well. And they've done well. They've done very, very well this season. They're on the edge of that top eight, aren't they?
Well, the players always like to get the best of everything in terms of preparation for their game. So, more into Wolves of Wolves, the World's First Mobile Cryotherapy Gas Chamber. That's sort of off the moon, right, compared to what it was like in your day, isn't it?
I must confess, I don't know too much about it, but I believe that it's the latest in keeping players fit and recovery from injury. As you say, it's far removed from the world I played in, certainly where, when I was at St Helens, we had a big tin of Vaseline. a 250 kilowatt bulb in it and a big bottle of olive oil. And if there's anything wrong with it, you've either got Vaseline on your leg, you've either rubbed down with olive oil, and you sat under this light bulb for about 20 minutes, and you'll be glad fit.
These guys need to stand in one room at minus 40 for 2 minutes and they're going to another one for minus 145 for 3 minutes. That seems a lot better than a glass of olive oil anyway.
Well, it does, but I must confess the olive oil, the light bulb and the Vaseline never did me any help.
That's just done and dusted for day one of the Magic Weekend, and I will be back next month with more bleach extra.